Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. This is the Flow Track Podcast, flowtrackpodcast@gmail.com. Happy Monday. If you are a member of the pod, check out the bonus pod. Did we put it up yet, Gordon? Or is it live now?
Yeah, it's already up. Yep.
It's already up. Check it out. We did some track and field Emmys for the 2022 season. A little bit of a shorter pod today. Producer Colt's got to run, but that's okay. We're going to go rapid fire through several stories. Most of which I'm excited about, some of which I'm not, but that's okay. You'll just have to guess which one I'm not that thrilled to talk about. Gordon, first of all, how are you? How was your weekend?
Weekend is good so far. My parents are in town. The first time they've been here in like 3 years. So we are enjoying Austin. They're still here. They leave tomorrow.
Get them on the pod.
Should we get them on the pod? No, we can't get my parents on the pod.
No. Why not?
What are they going to talk about? We make this high, like, you know.
I got one question for them.
What's that question?
Kip Yeagon versus Fraser Price. Who they got?
Oh, yeah. I think they would go with Kip Yeagon. They would back their son. They ride with their son on all things possible. So,
if one of your kids did 4 things really well and then another one of your kids did this 8 things really well, which kid would you say did better? I think we could throw that to him.
We spent Saturday afternoon in the office watching the Penn State football game. I showed him our office, and then we sat and found a TV, and we watched the Penn State football game.
Seriously?
That was our Saturday.
There's no TV at your house?
No, there is, but show him the office. Show him where we work.
Oh. Okay. Were they impressed?
Yeah, sure. I don't know. Mm. This is where, you know, they took a picture of me sitting at my desk, like working the whole, like, parents, so proud of their, like, first day of school type stuff. So it was good.
Love it. All right. We're going to jump around a little bit. Oh, before we get going, we got to issue a correction. Those of you who listened to our interview with Kira D'Amato, who's running the Berlin Marathon this weekend, by the way, check that out. We asked her, I think I asked the question, but you did the research. So I'll take blame here because I asked the question. We looked up what we believe was her first race in high school, where she finished in the mid hundreds. We were confused about it because that year she finished pretty high up at a regional meet. On the pod, when we showed her the results, we were wondering, hey, what happened in this race? She insisted she ran the JV race, not the varsity race, that meet, and that the time was incorrect. We had a laugh about it, joked about it. She said she was going to look it up. She followed through, Gordon, because she sent an email. She found the results, and she also found an essay that she wrote about that event. Because remember, she said she remembered this meet specifically because her coach put her in junior varsity, not varsity, because she had missed a practice, and she wanted to prove wrong.
Yeah.
Time trial. Yeah, she wanted to prove the coach wrong, and that was the subject of the essay. So if you pull up the results again, it is interesting. So her time is handwritten in there because these results only show the varsity race. But I looked, those do match up to what we had on the results page that we showed with Autry and Ottstott winning it. And then Kira, 1937. We had her, 23 minutes or something on those results that we showed her?
Okay. I mean, I believe Kira. Sure, 100% I believe her. But, like, she could have wrote that down on that piece of paper right before she took a picture of it and sent it to us. There's no proof that she ran that time. It's just, are we supposed to believe that ink she wrote down in 1998? Like, this is what I actually ran?
I mean, we could get some analysis of the ink. To me, the essay put it over the top. I don't think she went and rewrote an essay.
She could have
about good, it. Good, also, good
Good move.
I'm of the era, I don't know if you're of the era, of results in newspapers. Are you from that time?
Yes, I am. Yes, good times.
It was a big deal to see your name in paper for the first time, especially if you weren't that good like me and like you. So it does, basically what I'm saying is the newspaper results were very limited. So I don't think they would go 15 deep or even 5 deep in the JV race. So it doesn't surprise me that her JV results were not listed. Also was interesting on those results. I don't know if you can see it. I didn't notice this at the time. Second place in the men's race, boys race, guy by the name Alan Webb.
Really?
So perhaps, yeah, we could call him to testify.
Yes.
Hey, do you remember?
The pod.
Do you remember this meet? I just thought it was great. So props to her for following up, doing the research and sending it. I'm accepting it. I think she's dead on. I don't need any handwriting or ink analysis here. I think that we need to get that result changed in the mile split database.
Okay. Who's in charge of this? You or me? Who's sending the email?
Well, someone from MileSplit is listening. I would assume someone on their site is listening. But yeah, if not, if this isn't done by the end of the week, then I'll send it a follow-up email. It's the American record holder in the marathon. You know, we got to get these things correct here, and potentially the Berlin Marathon champion. If you haven't watched the interview yet, I enjoyed it. Go check it out. I want to talk about the Noah Lyles tweet, though. Those of you in the chat, I'm assuming you saw the Noah Lyles tweet. If not, I'll read it out. This was from September 17th, which is Saturday, 7:05 a.m. morning time in Florida. Lyles sends the tweet, "I want the double." And that's it. Thoughts?
So, the first thought is, this was sent at 7 a.m., meaning this is not a fast food tweet where I want like the double.
Correct.
Like,
yeah.
Because if it was sent like late at night, you know, you're like, oh, he's really hungry. He's having the munchies. Or it's like during dinner time, he's like, I want the double because he's starving for some junk food. But you don't send.
Sir, this is Twitter, not a Wendy's. You can't tweet your order.
At 7 a.m. This is clearly something different. And so he says he wants the double. 1-2. But here's my question. Didn't he say he wanted the double before?
Yeah.
This isn't the first time he said this, right?
No. No, not at all. I like it when athletes put themselves out there. And he's done it before. And he's running it back. Probably with, more success this time. I don't know. How do you think? So you're going into last time it was got screwed up because of the pandemic though, right?
True.
So I'm wondering, does he have a better chance this time or last time? But you know, the emergence of Curly is something you need to talk about because that wasn't there last time. Well, when he in 2020, but by 2021, Curly obviously was a force. But the men's 100 in general hasn't changed a lot, has it? Again, you got some guys running 9.7 mid to 9.7 high, basically. You have Marcel Jacobs there now. But it's not as if this event has taken off into a different stratosphere. He does need to drop some time. I think he's going to need to figure out how to shave a tenth off of that 100. But his 200 is a bit faster than it's ever been. Maybe he can see some improvements in the one.
So Colt did a great research here. Look at this tweet, though, from literally almost a year ago, or 2 years ago, in August 19th of 2020, yo, I'm about to hit the double. And they responded, say, 100, 200, let's go. Noah's really good at this whole giving us content to talk about in the offseason for Track and Field podcast. But he's tweeting out, yo, I'm going to hit the double. But he didn't even attempt it in 2021. He said that in 2020. He didn't even attempt the double in 2021.
Wait, when did he say that in 2020? What's the date?
August.
August what?
19th.
Yeah, that's because that day he ran the double in Hungary. He was talking about that day. He ran a 100, 200 double. He wasn't talking about World Championships or Olympics.
Okay, so then maybe 2 days ago he ran a double. Maybe he did two workouts.
No, incorrect. That's not it. He's saying, I remember 2019, after he won the two, did an interview with him. And he said, I said, you going for the 100 next year? Yeah, it was always the plan in the Tokyo Olympic year to go for them both. Now, 2020, after what happened in 2021, you understand why in 2022 he only went for the two. But he's in a spot now in his career. What is the next, like, what's the next thing he can check off? He's got the American record. He's got two world titles. You can just collect gold medals in the two for a while, which sounds like a great plan to me, and I'm sure he wants to do that. But there's two main things left. One would be trying to figure out how to double. The other one would be the world record in the 200. So it is tough when you get into this spot where you become a heavy favorite in an event. It just feels like you need to constantly challenge yourself and up the game. And the way you do that oftentimes is just to throw in that other event. But it is going to be very hard. I think, I know the U.S. gets four next year. If he even makes that team, I think that'd be a win. If he medals in the 100 somehow, if he goes bronze, gold, in terms of the one, the two, I think that'd be huge. I mean, we know how tough it is to make the U.S. team in the 100.
So if Noah Lyles legitimately is setting himself up to be a real threat for the double, which 100-meter runner in the U.S. should be most worried? Because they're not going to make the world team.
Well, I can tell you who's going to be the least worried.
Who's the least worried? Red Curley?
Yeah. He's got the bye. He need to worry about it. It's fine.
That's true. He has the bye.
I'll see you in Budapest. I'll see you guys in Budapest. And Lyles has the bye of the two, which makes this really possible. He's just got to go and run the one. I mean, whoever. I mean, that whole group, right? They're not that far apart, really.
Is it Trayvon Rommel? Is it Marvin Bracey? Or is it Christian Coleman? Or is it Makai Williams?
Well, I think it's Coleman, Williams, that group down. Yeah, it's that group. I don't think
it's not Bromell or Bracey. You should be worried.
Well, I don't think anybody's safe because they're really close together, but those two guys had a better season than Coleman and Makai Williams and whoever is in that next tier. So, yeah. I would say it's that group. The thing with Coleman though, I think it doesn't really matter what Lyles or anybody else does, because if Coleman is on, he's going to make the team. And if he's not on, if he's not back to where he was before, he's not going to make the team. Right? Like, I think it's more of a Coleman controlling his own destiny, because if he gets back to where he was in prior years, he's going to be golden. And if not, there's so much depth there, it's going to be tough for him to squeak on the team. I feel good about Bracey and Bromell just because of the consistency that they showed this year.
Okay.
But that's easy to pick. You're just like, okay, are you going to take the guys who swept? Yeah, okay, yeah. I'll take the guys who swept. Yes. That makes sense. But I think I'm not writing off Coleman getting back to low 9.8s, maybe even high 9.7s, and I think he's going to be on the team. I think the bigger question is just, how much can Lyles improve? If you get down to 19.31, does that mean there's going to be a corresponding PB coming in the 100? And if so, by how much? Because there's just a huge gap, right? There's a huge difference in the U.S., right? If you're running 9.90 versus 9.80, that's the whole ball game, right?
Yeah.
One means you're going to have a tough time getting on the team. The other one means you're going to contend for a medal. Maybe even gold.
Yeah.
Do you think he's doing this just because the natural progression of an athlete is just constantly finding the next challenge, and this just seems like the next logical challenge for him?
Yeah, I don't even think he's doing it as a challenge. I think he's doing it to improve his 200. I think, you know, like, in order to get to that next level, which is a level that only one person has been to, or I guess two, technically, put Joe and Blake there too, you need to get faster, right? But I say that in very dumb terms.
True.
But like,
I did look that up. He does.
He needs to get faster. But you do increase, you do help with your speed by getting better in the 100, you know, even doing the 60. Maybe he'll do a couple 60s indoor. But like, he knows how to have a great 200. He knows how to run the curve. He knows how to accelerate. But that just like raw speed, like that Trayvon Bromell 60 meter speed, that, you know, Christian Coleman 60 meter, like out of the gun type speed, that helps, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a big reason why Joseph Fambule is probably going to be running a lot of hundreds, because he needs to work on his start to like get that first, you know, 50 meters of a 200 even better. Because if Noah Lyles can get his first 50 better, his last 150 is great. We've seen that. But
yeah,
there's always improvement for the first 50. And I think that's probably why he wants to focus on the 100, and that will get him potentially to there.
And it's not that big of a risk either, because he has the buy in the 200 and he's got separation between himself and everybody else in the 200. If Knighton was running what Knighton was running at LSU the rest of the season and putting pressure on him, maybe it makes it a tougher choice. But Lyles has increased the separation, built up a little bit of a cushion, using some of that cushion, using some of that advantage to pour some more energy into the 100, where it could also help the 200, as you mentioned. I think you're right, is a good call. Checking on the chat here, All in the Game says, the glitz and glamour, for better or for worse, is still in the 100. That's true too. And a lot of sponsors, shoe companies, like, they want to know, or they want to have you double, right? They want you out there multiple times. They want somebody in the 100. I'm excited to see it. And again, he's doing this from a position of strength. He's not backing into it. And I do think it's just so interesting how we've gone full circle in the last 3 years with Lyles, from completely dominant force in the 200. So he's looking for other stuff to do to challenge him, to losing the 200, to getting back to unstoppable force, needing to find something else to do to challenge him, all in the span of a few years. Quick turnaround. Yeah,
it's a wild. Pretty wild.
Yeah. But I give credit to him for just putting it out there. He's not playing games. Oh, we'll see. We'll look at the schedule and see what happens. And I'm going to test my fitness. Like, he's actually saying that he wants it, and he's doing it. Basically, as soon as the season ends, this is as early as you could declare your intentions for the next year. He's doing it. He's like a big believer. You know those way too early rankings? Like the way too early top 25s, or here's the Super Bowl pick the day after the Super Bowl? That's essentially what Lyles is doing.
I'm all for it. So we'll see. Hopefully he can do it. Also, he should change his Twitter handle, man. His Twitter handle is Lyles Noah. Does Noah Lyles have a... Is there a Twitter handle out there called Noah Lyles? Let's search this.
I'm assuming producer Colt is on it. He's really good at searching Twitter handles. Yeah, it looks like there is.
Who's this? Look at this person. Oh my goodness. Sini's good.
2012, the last tweet.
And he tweeted, I farted in August. And also, I love Justin Bieber. Man.
Listen, early Twitter
in the world has the Twitter handle. You got to feel for it. What do you think Noah would rather have? The double or this Twitter handle?
At Noah Lyles. There's definitely been offers given, right? There's definitely been a conversation. Hey, there, can I have that been handle? Yeah.
Right? Do you think Are he you knows at he Gordon has? Mack? I'm at Gordon Mack. I got in early.
Okay, I was going to say, how much would you pay?
I wouldn't pay anything. Yeah, this is going to be a
taste maker ahead of it. Cole, is yours your name?
I don't think we should show my Twitter profile.
No, don't show it. Don't show it. But is it your first name and your last name, or somewhere around there?
It is close, yeah.
Okay, how much would you pay for just it to be just your name? Would you care about that or no?
No, I don't think I would. I think for athletes it makes a lot of sense, though. For like, if I was Noah Lyles, I would definitely want that. Like, I'd be harassing that guy to try to get the profile.
Challenge him to a race.
Hey, listen, I know according to your tweet back in 2012, you farted. I just wanted to follow up on that. Also, can I have your Twitter handle? Thank you.
Challenge him to a race. I'm sure he's gotten DMs. from Lyles Noah. Hey, can I have your Durant?
Yeah. All right. We'll move on before we do that. Tampa Eagle says Noah may have better top end speed than everybody. All in the game says if Knighton somehow consistently starts dropping 19.5s early season, Lyles might change his mind. Yeah. We saw how much he is influenced by Ari Knighton this past year. So that is true. I don't think you can separate one from the other, meaning that Lyles winning by big margins, not just winning, but winning by big margins, makes you think, all right, what do I do next? I'm feeling confident in my 200. What do I need to add to my portfolio? Hey, let's go and look at the 100. Let's talk about another dominant athlete. He's running this weekend. Eliud Kipchoge in Berlin, world record holder, lines up going for what we believe will be another marathon triumph. He's a big favorite, as he would be in any field, but particularly this field. Gave some quotes, said he still wants to run Paris 2024. Didn't really get into what he's looking at for Berlin on Sunday. But what was the quote? I just want to run fast, or I want to try to push myself. He's ready for a very good race. So I don't know. What did you take anything from any of his quotes here, Gordon?
He says a lot of good, like, headlines. I am running to make history. I am ready for a very good race. I will try to push myself. Obviously, he's not like in the sunset stage of his career. As much as we keep on like thinking like we're getting to that because we feel like we've seen the greatness already from him with the Olympic medals and the sub-2 attempts. It's kind of like, I think after he broke 2 in the marathon, we kind of just assume like he's done in a weird way. We're like, you did it. You did the ultimate thing. It was a big buildup. Yeah. You did 2 attempts at it. You got it on the second attempt. Now you can sunset your career. But he's kind of not acting that way. He's kind of acting like he's still like in his lower 30s. Yeah. Just like, going back to Berlin. You know, we're like thinking like, why is he doing Berlin? He needs to do New York City because he needs to get all the marathons out of the way. But the fact that he's like thinking, well, guys, I'm running all the way through at least 2024. I got time. Sure, I can show up to Berlin again and get a crack at trying to lower my PB, which would be another world record. So
yeah,
I think it's kind of interesting that not only is Kipchoge still at the top of his game, we are still kind of, he's not fading yet. He has yet to show any sign of fading.
Yeah.
Which
will
be weird when he shows his first sign of fading. Because the only time he's ever faded, he had an ear infection in the London Marathon when it was raining.
Yeah.
The only time he faded.
That was a weird, well, that was 2020. That was 2020. I remember at the times you and I were debating, hey, is this going to be seen as a one-off? Or is this going to be seen as a turning point in his career? And it was the one-off of all one-offs. You could not have any more one-off than Kipchoge getting 8 there because we've seen what happens. I think what's interesting about him saying he's going to do Paris 2024, that's the intention, is it puts a marker in that says, okay, he's at least going to go to summer 2024, which puts all of 2023 in play. Which, again, I just assumed he was going to run, but you never know. So that means 2023... he could do spring and fall, which means he could do a Boston and a New York if that's still his plan. And then in 2024, I don't know if he's going to do another marathon in addition to the Olympic, but there's at least a possibility out there that we would see him again. So I think what you can extrapolate from this is that in addition to Berlin will be 1, maybe 2 in 2023, and then at least 1 in 2024. We're going to see him at least 4 more times. Again, maybe he's going to run Paris, but I feel great. I'm going to go in through to LA. It's like, who's going to argue with him? But I think the short term, what I take from this is he's got a chance to get all the marathon majors because he's going to run all of 2023. Now, maybe he's got another thing up his sleeve. Like there's another race he told you he wants to run on a cruise ship. Maybe that's going to be his priority in 2023. But the possibility at least exists of seeing him in the 2 marathons that I know people in the States and maybe even worldwide really want to see, which is New York and Boston.
Yeah. We're going to know we are going to know that we're going to want to see him in New York or Boston, because when we're doing our 2 a.m. podcast local time, we're watching the Berlin this weekend. It's going to be, we're going to realize like, hey man, Kipchoge, can you just run in our time zone for once?
Yeah. So I'm not waking up for anybody but him. Just for the record. Like, he is the one who's also, I need to talk to you about that, because I'll have people staying at my house. I might need to record at your house, which means I might just need to do a sleepover at your house. Is that cool?
Hey, that's fine. I'll get some.
Okay.
I'll get some snacks, some your popcorn. Have a good old time.
Your parents will be gone by then?
Yeah, they'll be gone. Right. They leave tomorrow.
I was thinking about the logistics, because as you know, and the listeners know, I have 3 kids. So then when in-laws come too, space gets very cramped. And I think, hey, I need that room to film a live podcast from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. I just don't think it's going to gel with anybody's schedule who's living in this house. So I was like, you know what? I might need to drive to go. And then I was like, well, I don't want to set an alarm and drive there at like 1:30. So why don't I just go over there at night?
That's going to be great. Get some dinner. Some
pizza rolls.
Yeah, man. We'll have a good time. Oh, I'm excited now. Okay. This is going to be even better than I expected.
All right. It's not for sure yet. Actually, I think it is for sure. Well, I gotta check the schedule one more time, see if it works. All right, Kipchoge, it's gonna be great. I'm excited. For Sunday morning, so we'll see. All right, what else? Gordon's cross country minute.
No, come on, this isn't a minute. No, we're talking. This is interesting news on the high school side.
No, I want to talk about college cross country first, because I go through these results, these two big college cross country results, and then we'll talk about the high school news, because I got a question for you as it pertains to the men's side of things.
Okay, so we'll start with the women. So the top two ranked teams, NC State women and the NAU men, both ran this past weekend. NC State ran a home meet in Raleigh, North Carolina. NAU went to an Indiana meet for the coaching tree invite. What?
Cary, North Carolina. Factually accurate here. Yep.
Sorry, Cary. The Adidas XC Challenge. They go 1, 2, 3, and they win the meet. Samantha Bush won, running a 5K in 16:14. They go 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. You know, they just pretty much dominate. A couple of their athletes ran unattached, like they're some of their true freshmen. But Caitlin Tui didn't run. Kelsey Camille didn't run. Sydney Seymour didn't run. There's probably someone else I'm not thinking about who also didn't run. But there are big stars didn't run, yet they still went 1, 2, 3, and they dominated. There was no much competition. Things are looking good. The thing that NC State has is they have incredible depth, because there's going to be – their number 8 runner would probably be every other team's number 4 runner, I think, in the nation. At least.
Yeah.
And some teams number 1 runner, right? But that's how good NC State is. Can't wait till we see them full squad, which I think they're running at Notre Dame when they're going to race against New Mexico and Alabama, which will be a really good matchup.
So yeah.
Look out for that. But NC State, showing no signs of flaws. They look immaculate after their first race. On the men's side, and someone who doesn't follow it may think there's some flaws, but I still think NAU is looking pretty immaculate, because NAU, they go 1, 2, 3. Theo Quax wins it. Santiago Prosser gets second. Kang Niok gets third. But the team finishes third overall. They go 1, 2, 3, 19, 35. They lose to both North Carolina and Georgetown. So should we be worried about the national champions getting third? In a September 16th meet, I think not. They didn't run a lot of their big stars. They didn't run up. They didn't run Drew Bosley. They didn't run Nico Young. They didn't run Colin Salmon. They didn't run George Kush. They didn't run Brody Hasty. They didn't run Ryan Raff. So basically, they ran.
They ran everybody.
They didn't run six of their guys. They didn't run 6 of their top 7. So I think they're going
to
be
all right. Well, your question leads me to my question. Seen a lot of coaching changes in college football early on. Is Mike Smith on the hot seat after this loss?
You know, there has been some rumors circulating. You know, people are getting their resumes ready for the NAU coaching job. He did just get a 5-year extension, but you know, you don't fly all the way out to Bloomington, Indiana, and put up a third place burger, you know, losing to Georgetown in North Carolina. Now, all jokes aside, it was a good run, though, for Theo Quacks, who he didn't just win. He won by like 8 seconds. There's some good guys in this, like Parker Stokes. I think he was All-American. Or no, he wasn't All-American. He finished like 150th, but I think he was like top two in his regional in the North, in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Atlantic,
Will Coogan's pretty good. So some of these guys are pretty good. I don't know. The question I had.
I just think it's funny. You're just like, is any of you in trouble? Now, they didn't run, proceeds to list the entire roster.
Their entire varsity.
But are they in trouble?
No, they're not in trouble. Obviously, they're not in trouble. They basically have 9 guys or 7 spots. So there's going to be the question is who's going to run their 7th. Who's going to be their 7th man? Will it be Kang, Santiago, Theo, Ryan Raff? But here's the question that we really want to know.
Yeah.
Will we or won't we see Colin Solomon in 2022? Because clearly they have depth. They have 9 guys for 7 spots. You know, so it's not like they need a 7th man. So they could redshirt Colin Solomon and still have a very good roster. And this is a question that NAU always has to answer every year. In 2018, they had to decide if Brody Hasty was going to run. They decided to redshirt him. 2019, they had to decide if Drew Bosley was going to run. They debuted him at Nuddycombe, and Drew Bosley ended up being their number one runner in the year they lost. And then Nico Young, he decided to run his true freshman year. So the past 3 star freshmen, 2 of them ran, 1 of them didn't. Will Colin Solomon be a true freshman runner, or will he be redshirted? What do you think?
I think you never know how long these superstars are going to stay, so you should run them. And if he's as good as you say he's going to be, or you think he's going to be this year, I think they need him if they want to win. But
yeah, the question is, though, for the
we're not like, at the workouts. I mean,
he's a sub-4 miler. He can run a great 2 mile and a 5K, but can you run a 10K?
Well, and that's what I'm saying. If I don't think you, in a world where you think he's going to stay for, let's just say you assume he's going to stay his entire career, right? And you really value that year of eligibility, right? I don't think you pull the red shirt for him to be the 7th guy, right? Yeah. 6th or 7th guy. And the only people who know where he stands within the team is the NAU team. That's the only group who knows. So it depends on what you know. But like the thought process of what do you do with Nico Young? Well, it seems obvious now because how many years of eligibility does he have left still?
I think he still has 3 more.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, does anybody think that he's going to be there for 3 more years? No. So no. If you redshirted him, he'd have another year on top of that. And I mean, NAU's NAU, they'll probably be fine regardless, but I get it. You don't want to rush the development. But if they're doing the workouts and your only hesitancy is, oh man, I don't want to burn this year because I can have them when they're older and they'll be even better. Well, that doesn't make a ton of sense that's not as big of an issue if you think they're going to go pro anyway. Right?
Well, the key is like Mike Smith has to make a decision based off of workouts, right? Not based off of a race performance. Because if he thinks like he's looking good in workouts and then he goes and runs Nuddycombe and blows up and you're like, oh, this maybe he's really good at working out and not really good at racing or like at the cross country race, which I don't think is true, right? Colin's great. He's not going to flutter and lose to a bunch of 14, 20 guys. Like he can run the 13 minute range. So he clearly has the talent. But it's going to be the question to watch, right? Will they or won't they run Colin Solomon? Because I agree with you. I think they need him. I think in order for NAU to beat Stanford, they're going to need Colin Solomon to be in their top 4.
Well, like they need, what do you have him at, 20? You have him at 20 or something like that, 25? They need a person to run like that. Now, whether or not it's Colin Solomon or somebody else, I don't know. But if he is filling the role as you think he's going to fill, then you can do the math and figure out that they definitely Needham because you actually have Stanford ahead of NAU when you actually look at the points, but you just decided to do some fake math to put NAU number one, which we already talked about. We won't get into that. Hey, we only have 5 minutes left. Let's take a walk down memory lane, though, because I feel like the meet formerly known as the Foot Locker Championships is just pure nostalgia for kids who grew up in the 90s. Because, you know, it was the Kinney Nationals way back in the day. But when I was around, I knew it was the Foot Locker Nationals. Then last year it turned into the East Bay Nationals, which you remember East Bay, right? How big of a deal that was when the catalog came?
Yeah, getting your little cleats on there and your shin guards for soccer and all that good stuff.
Yeah, like, and then it had the weights listed. So you're like, oh my gosh, how much do the Jasaris weigh? Like, you're looking at the spikes and everything like that, trying to figure out which ones are the lightest. Oh man, they have javelin shoes. What's the deal with that? This magazine actually cares about track and field equipment. This is amazing. I loved it. Big fan. But the meet is not the Foot Locker Nationals. It's not East Bay Nationals. It's changed again to another thing that 90s kids will be familiar with, Champs Sports. Who didn't go to a Champs Sports in the mall back in the day? I know you did, Gordon. Oh, yeah.
Got the starter jackets there, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Get a hat. The new Air Maxes are out. So it's the, what's it going to be called officially? The Champs Sports.
Yeah, what's the official name? The Chance. Do they have a name for
it? Yeah, they official.
Okay. Champ Sports National Championship? Champ Sports. Is it going to be called the Champ Sports Championship? Yeah, Chance Sports National Championship. That's
Should just be called the Champ, the Champs Championship?
Yeah, Champs. The Champs. Champs.
It's tough to say.
It's Champ Sports National Championship. I guess they can't call it Champs because that would conflict with actual Champs, which is in Jamaica, you know, with their high school championship. It is weird, though. When you do a big press release, like, we are now East Bay Cross Country Championships, and you're very like, let's just pretend this is a good thing, and we were going forward. Foot Locker, that's the past. The new future is East Bay. And then a year later, like, no, about that. We're going now do one. Champs. Like
Champs.
It seems kind of. So do you say you won Champs? That's what we're going to, I think for short, they're going to call it Champs.
That's a cool name.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. That's a cool name. Because when it was Foot Locker, you said, are you going to Foot Locker? Now, I think if East Bay stuck around for longer, we maybe would have become familiar with it. And then kids these days who didn't get the catalogs, that would have been their first association. The meet, they wouldn't even thought about. So it wouldn't have seemed weird to them. I mean, won East Bay. But saying you win Champs, I think that's got a cool name. And I think winners should get a starter jacket. I know Starter's not sponsoring it, but I think you should do that. You should get a whole bunch of custom do they do the custom jerseys? Or they had the authentic jerseys, right? The real thick ones that cost like way more than the actual jersey. They had some of those there too. And you could get a soft pretzel. You got a hot dog on a stick afterwards.
I do think because it has the same name as the Jamaican Champs, like they should find a way to do every 4 years they host the Champs cross country meet in Kingston, Jamaica.
Oh, I thought you were saying in a mall.
In Kingston, and combine Jamaica Champs with high school national champs.
Well,
and have an ultimate champ.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I thought it was just called the Jamaican Boys and Girls Championships, and Champs was the nickname. Correct?
Yes.
So this could be the Champ Sports National Championships, and then it's just the nickname is Champs.
Yeah. But the nickname's already taken. You can't have two people.
You go to malls all the time now. You go to malls all the time now because you're getting, you know, your new clothes and your cologne, all that, your shoes, all that stuff. Do they have a Champ Sports in the mall here in Austin?
I don't know.
I feel like it comes standard, right?
I don't remember, but they might. Mm. That would be cool, though, if they had a cross-country meet in a mall. You got to go, like, up and down the escalator.
It's still in San Diego, right?
It's still in San Diego.
It's not changing.
Anyway. I wonder what kids are going to do. Are the kids going to go to NXN? Lids? Are they going to go to Champs? Are they going to go to Running Lane? There's three options.
Yeah, this is turning into track now.
Yeah.
Where there's just there's four championships to choose from and all the good people spread out. I like it. I think they should do that in every major sport. Like the NBA, they should choose after the regular season, you should choose between three tournaments that you play in to see who the best team is.
That would be funny if that actually happened in professional sports.
I mean,
oh yeah, I'm going to win the champs NBA title versus the starter NBA title versus the Foot Locker NBA title.
Yeah. Which World Series are you competing in this year? I get it. More kids get to go, and have a postseason meet, which is cool for them. But if your interest is getting for sure the best people on the same starting line together, it makes it a bit difficult when you have multiple meets. But that's another story for another day. Checking on the chat, they're still talking about Noah Lyles and the Sprint Devil. And Jalen Slade, his potential.
Jalen Slade, I forgot about him.
Someone did bring up the Fernando Mignal. I didn't click on the link. I just saw the headline who said he's going to break the world record. So I'm pumped about that.
Maybe Mignal said he's going to break the world record?
Yeah, I got to get the actual tweet. I want to check that out. I think it's awesome. September's great. September should just be like once you should have – there should be a four-week period after the track season ends where you just say whatever you want with like no repercussions.
Yeah, because no one's going to remember. No one's going to be like, hey, remember you said you're going to break the world record when he runs like 10:01 in May? Yeah. No one's going to remember.
If you're right, you get all the credit. If you're wrong, we all agree that we just forget about it. But you should just be able to speak your truth for 4 weeks after the season. And he probably thinks he can break the world record. More power to him. If I was that fast, I think I could run a little bit faster.
So you're saying I should have made my Bolt prediction tweet in September and not day two of the world championships?
No, you timed it perfectly in terms of getting people to pay attention to it while getting heckled in person. I think you timed that one expertly. I'm saying athletes, not media. Athletes should be able to say they should be able to speak their truth for a couple weeks after about themselves. So Lyles kicked it off. I want the double. Omanyala is saying, I'm going to break the world record. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going for three more weeks. Let's just get more predictions. Again, we like think, man, what is he thinking? But it's like you run 9.8, right? You're faster than 99.99999% of the people in human history. I don't think it's that crazy to think, oh, I can run a little bit faster. Now we're like, oh man, it's a long way to 9.58. But if you're already so much faster than everybody else, it's not too crazy to think that you could do that.
Well, do you see this tweet from Marvin Bracey? Put it in the speaking of September tweets, everyone's doing it these days.
Oh, he drew a parallel between the silver medalist becoming the gold medalist.
That's something I would say. 100. I was very proud of that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a, hey, look, I'm going to win. And then everybody jokingly roasted him. They all get along. All those guys get along because
Marvin Bracey said, all I'm saying is in 2017, Coleman got second, followed up with gold. 2021, Curley got second, followed up with gold. 2022, I got silver. Y'all see the trend? See you next year. And then Fred Curley responded, boy, hell no, that gold mine next year. Just stop it, son.
And Fred Norwood,
Elijah Hall got involved.
You're not Christian Coleman. You're definitely not Fred. Stop this while you're ahead. But I see where you're trying to go with this. Quit it. Yeah, I think it's funny. I think it's great that they're participating in what I want. I want more of this. I want more of this in September. All right, we got to go. We got to leave it there. Thanks to Colt for producing. Thanks to everybody who tuned in. If you're a member, you can check out the members only pod. If you're not, you can do it. Subscribe. We'll talk more about the member pod coming up this week. And we will talk to you guys on Wednesday.
Are we going live at a different time on Wednesday?
No, I don't think so. Maybe.
We may be.
Stay tuned.
We might.
Okay.
So either tomorrow, on Wednesday, we might go live at 9 a.m. or 12:30, which will be a new time slot. So if we're not live at 9, we're going to be live at 12:30.
Central. Lunch. Okay.
Central. Yep.
Bring your lunch. See you guys.